Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I have to say, I thought the music was wonderful. It just lifted up my evening, and I have to admit, I was a little bit tired, and I thought, I want to be in bed. And then I was listening and listening and listening, and I thought, this is what it's all about. Everybody trying to share what they have, and that's it. That's what our days are supposed to be like every day. So I just want to say thank you one more time. I would say for me, all of the lessons have to do with attitude, for us to imitate the attitude of God, of Jesus Christ, our brother, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Even the collect that says that we pray, grant that we, who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's the fact. All of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. All of us are Jesus' brothers and sisters, and that's how we try to attain and accomplish having the attitude of Christ in the world. And we all know he had a very humble beginning, and we figure from all the lessons throughout the year that we hear. At his birth, we know that he is born. And who's the first to hear about it? The lower class shepherds. During his life, he is always picked on or grumbled about by the Pharisees and Sadducees because he hangs out with tax collectors and sinners. And then at his death, who is he with? Two criminals. But that is how God wrapped his Christmas gift to us in perfect humanity. And that was Jesus Christ, God made man. And that's the best gift that we can have. Now in Isaiah, we have just a little bit of a precursor of what the attitude of the ideal Davidic king would be, like Jesus Christ, how his attitude, he's the one that accomplished it. It says, Wonderful Counselor. So Isaiah was prophesying for God, saying that the King, our Savior, is a wonderful counselor who is going to rule with wisdom. And then Mighty God, he will exemplify God's way of power and exemplify God's presence. And then Everlasting Father, he will be dependable. He will be dependable to look out for the welfare of his people. And then finally, Prince of Peace. He will bring reconciliation, and he will bring endless peace with justice and love. And then in the little short lesson from Titus, we hear the same thing. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. And then it says, and in the present age, meaning between Jesus' first coming and now, Jesus' second coming, and that's where we are, in the present age. Our lives, we are to be, have self-control as an attitude. We are to be upright, godly, and be patient enough to wait for the hope of our manifested glory because of the great gift that God gave us, Jesus Christ. So we are to live like Jesus. We are to have the attitude of Christ. We are to be self-sacrificing, really, truly going beyond our own needs, figuring out, okay, what does the person next to me need? What does the person in my family need? What does the person in the car that I really want to honk at What does that person need? Instead of it being me, myself, and I, I'm going to get there first. We are to be self-sacrificing, thinking beyond ourselves, like Jesus did with his entire life. And we are to prayer, and we are to have action. Now, I know the gospel is a little bit long, but there's just a few points I'd like to go through. First of all, Luke was really not interested so much in the logistics of Quirinius's registration. But what he wanted to do was have the theology, the backing of theology, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So we hear how Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. And he was engaged to her, and she was with child. And when they got there, it was time for her to deliver. And that must have been, we really need to think about Joseph and Mary, their attitude. That must have been a terrible trip for both of them. Because, let's remember, Joseph heard that his wife-to-be was pregnant, but not from him. But he did hear from God, but he had just as much faith in God our Father as Mary did. What an awesome couple. So there she is. She gave birth. And then what was interesting is Luke wanted to let everybody know their attitudes as parents. He was wrapped in bands of cloth. He was taken care of. He was nurtured. Here they were exhausted, did not have an operating room, did not have doctors or any comforts at all. And what did they do? They took time to make sure the child was comfortable and wrapped up and warm and as cozy as was possible. They were not neglectful. They were caring parents. And why were they in a stable? Because there was no room for them in the inn. So what happens next? After Jesus was born and we hear this, we find out that an angel came down from heaven was the first group of people that the angel told, that God told. Usually when we think of kings being born, we think of fanfare and all this, but God went to the shepherds. And why? Because of their attitudes as human beings. Shepherds were in the same class as tax collectors and prostitutes back then. They were not important. They were considered very low class. But let's think about that. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields. The shepherds lived with the sheep. They didn't just go out and watch once in a while. They lived with them 24/7. They really cared about the sheep for many reasons. And they watched over their flock at night to the point where they would be the gate. They would lie in front of the pen so that wolves couldn't get in, and they would protect them with their life. So what happened? The angel comes down, and I'm sure the shepherds were not used to that, and they were terrified. If an angel suddenly came down, I think we'd be a little awestruck. And I bet you they were really terrified. And the angel said to them, first thing, do not be afraid. I am bringing you great news of joy for all people. Not just you shepherds, but for all people. And it's joy, joyful news. And he says, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. So here we have it in Luke's Gospel. And he says, this will be the sign. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth, lying in a manger. So now suddenly, after the angel finished his message, He was joined by a whole bunch of other angels and heavenly hosts. Not just angels, but all the heavenly hosts. They were singing and praising God and saying glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace among those whom he favors. Guess what? Every single person in this church, in this building, is favored by God. Are we perfect? No. But are we favored in love? Yes. So after that, the angels left. How many people were exhausted today, but came out anyway? Anybody else tired? Thank you. Well, these shepherds worked 24/7, so they were exhausted. And they hear all of this about the Savior in a manger. And what do they say? Oh, let's go back. Let's lie down here. We'll find out tomorrow. No, they say, let us go now to Bethlehem. Let us go now and see this thing that has taken place because the Lord told us about it. And so they go with haste right away, and they found Mary. They found Joseph. They found Jesus, the child, lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known to them all that they had heard. They were absolutely amazed, and so was everybody else with them. Mary, she knew a lot from before, so did Joseph. So Mary kind of pondered absolutely everything in her heart. But for the shepherds, and this is a lesson for us, it still wasn't done for them. The shepherds, when they met the Holy Family, they went back. Did they keep the information to themselves, or were they joyful and shared the love of God? That's what they did. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God the Father because of all that they had seen, all that they had heard, and all that had been told to them. That's what we're supposed to do every day. That's how we're supposed to be every day. We can do it because Christ did it, but we don't because we're human and we sin. Jesus did not sin. But we can accomplish the nature and the way and the life of Christ. We can do it. Now, I found this one writing that I thought was just great by Howard Thurman, and I thought it was kind of appropriate. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in our hearts. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you can energize us and give us the joy of Christ and the strength and the will to do your will as he did. We also ask that you just stir up the power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us so that we can love you and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.